From my physical sight. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'd fa'a'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah, as-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Habiballah, as-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Nabiyallah, wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah. Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has said that a person who sends one time durood or salutation or salawat upon me, Allah Azza wa Jal sends 10 mercies upon him. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salatan wa salaman alayka ya Sayyidi ya Rasulallah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah. Dearest Islamic brothers and the viewers of Madani channel, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, once again we are blessed with the opportunity to partake in this beautiful silsila. Blessings of Hadith of Madani channel. As usual, inshallah Azza wa Jal, we will discuss few a hadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and would try to learn the message and the knowledge which is contained in these ahadith. An Jabirin anna Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu ata Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bin nuskhatin min at-Tawrati. فقال يا رسول الله هذه نسخة من التوراة فسكت فجعل يقرأ ووجه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يتغير فقال أبو بكر ثقلتك الثواكل ما ترى ما بوجه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فنظر عمر الى وجه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال اعوذ بالله من غضب الله وغضب رسوله رضينا بالله ربا وبالاسلام دينا وبمحمد نبيا فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم والذي نفس محمد بيده لو بدأ لكم موسى فاتبعتموه وتركتموني لضللتم عن سواء السبيل ولو كان حيا وأدرك نبوتي لاتبعني رواه الدارمي. This hadith mubarakah is reported by Hazrat Jabir radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. That surely Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu brought a copy of Torah to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, this is a copy of Torah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remained silent. And he started reading. Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu started reading. The color of blessed face of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started changing. Hazrat Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu said, O Umar, Mona's should mourn at you. Don't you see the condition of the blessed face of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And then Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu looked towards the blessed face of beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said that I seek refuge in Allah from the anger of Almighty Allah azza wa jal and from the anger of his beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are pleased that Allah is our Lord, and we are pleased that Islam is our religion, and we are pleased that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is our Nabi. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, by the one in whose hand is the life of Muhammad, mean Almighty Allah azza wa jalla. If Musa alayhi salam appears today and you follow him and you leave me, you would still not be on the right path. If Musa alayhi salam was alive, and if he found my nabuwat, he would have followed me. This hadith is in Darimi. Now in this hadith mubarakah, we learned that Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu brought a copy of Torah in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he started reading. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was silent. Why was he silent? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was angry. And the reason for his anger was that why Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu goes to Jews? Why he sits with them? And what is he finding in Torah that he cannot find in Quran? Or I cannot give him, or I cannot explain him or tell him. But Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu thought that this silence is of agreement, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not stop me, therefore he started reading. So this action of Hazrat Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu cannot be regarded as disrespectful one. In fact, it was judgment error that Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu committed. That's what is called ijtihadi khata. And that is forgiven, because it was a matter of understanding. His intention was still good, because he was thinking that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is silent because he agrees what I am doing. And then we learn in this hadith mubarakah that Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu said something to Hazrat Umar. Mourners should mourn at you. That is an idiom which is used in Arabic language. Normally when person dies, there are people who mourn. So generally, literally, if you try to understand, it means that death should come on you. Then only the mourners will mourn at you. But because it was so common idiom used in Arabic language, so it wasn't really a dua against Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. It was not taken in that sense. It was just to draw attention or show anger. And why Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu was angry at Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu? Because Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala was busy looking at the book and reading from there, and he was not looking at the blessed face of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala was looking at the blessed face of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he noticed that change. So, in order to draw his attention, he used that sentence. So, this does not mean that the Sahaba-i-Kiram had animosity with each other. This what he said and this what he did was to serve the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So therefore, that misunderstanding cannot be born from this discussion. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala saw a sign of anger at the blessed face of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then immediately he changed his tone. Because now he sees that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not happy. And then, as he always used to say, this was a very famous dialogue of Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala to show his loyalty to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to show his mahabba, his love, and his obedience to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he used to say, Radina billahi rabbam wa bil islam deenan wa bi muhammadin nabiyyan. So in other words, he said, Ya Rasulullah, my intention was not to hurt you. My intention was not to cause pain to you, O my beloved master. I am the slave of your door because I believe in you. You are my Nabi, you are my master. So with these words, he tried to reaffirm his relationship and his loyalty with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then we learn in this hadith mubarakah that even if Musa alayhi salam comes today and you follow him and you leave me, you will still be misguided. You still cannot be guided. What it means? From here we understand few important maslas. And that is that from now onwards means from the time Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam declared and announced his prophethood, from that time till the day of Qiyamah, the guidance depends on following Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if anyone leaves Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and follows someone else, he cannot be guided. And even if the original, unchanged Bible or Torah comes down, Bible and Torah which is not distorted, if that original book comes down, let alone the books, even those prophets upon whom these books were revealed, even if they come down and still to hidayat would be in following Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not Moses, peace be upon him, and not Jesus, peace be upon him. The previous books and the teachings of the prophets alayhi wasallam were guidance for the previous times, not for now. And now the guidance is only Quran and the teachings of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, just to make it easy to understand, that in the night, moon, star, lamps, candles, they all give light. But if the day comes, then they are unable to give light. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam declared his prophethood and he brought his Sharia, and as being the final prophet, as being the leader and the chief and the Sayyid of all the prophets, his arrival is like the coming of sun. Now in the light of sun, you cannot take guidance from the light of a lamp. From the light of star or moon, you will not even find that light. And we also understand from this that if anyone wants to study any book other than Quran and Sunnah, in order to find guidance, that is prohibited. Yeah, if it's for other interest, for other reason, that's fine. For example, many ulama who are debaters, they might study Torah, they might study Bible, but they're not studying in order to find guidance, because Quran and Hadith, the Sunnah of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is enough for guidance. They are studying for other reasons. So if anyone studies any book for the purpose of guidance, except Quran and Sunnah, that is prohibited in Islam. And that's the reason that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stopped Hazrat Umar Farooq radiyallahu ta'ala. And the third point, we understand that one should not trust upon himself as far as aqeedah matters are concerned. So therefore, one is not allowed to read any book or to go and listen the lecture or the waaz or the bayan of any person. Because it is one thing can click and that can change your whole concept of thinking. The whole belief system can be damaged and can become corrupted. Now imagine if a person like Hazrat Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu was stopped not to read Torah. Torah was not a book of an ordinary person. It is actually a revealed book. Although people have changed many things, but there are still many things which are unchanged. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stopped Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu from reading that. So who are we? We don't have that much knowledge. We are not so solid and firm in aqeedah matters. We are full of shortcomings and weaknesses. So we must not take chances and do not read the book of any person unless it has been verified by the authentic Sayyul Aqeedah Sunni Ulama, then it's a different story. وَعَنْ أَبِي ثَعْلَبَ الْخُشَنِّ قَالَ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ فَرَضَ فَرَائِدَ فَلَا تُضَيِّعُوهَا وَحَرَّمَ حُرُمَاتٍ فَلَا تَنْتَهِكُوهَا وَحَدَّ حُدُودًا فَلَا تَعْتَدُوهَا وَسَكَتَ أَنْ عَشْيَاءَ مِنْ غَيْرِ نِسْيَانٍ فَلَا تَبْحَثُوا عَنْهَا. This hadith mubarakah is reported from Hazrat Abi Thalaba Khushanni radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He says that our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, certain things are made obligatory upon you, so don't lose them, mean perform them. Certain things are made haram upon you, don't commit them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has established some limits Don't cross them. Don't violate them. And few things upon whom there is silence without forgetting. Don't search in them. Now this Haditha Mubarakah tells us that there are certain things which are made fard, obligatory, certain actions which are proven from Quran and Hadith. Be punctual with them and perform them with sincerity. Keep in mind that fard is that which is proven with certainty, and its demand from Sharia is also with certainty. So there is no doubt in that. The one who neglects that, he is fasik, he is a sinner. And the one who denies that, he is a kafir. He is a disbeliever. Denies in the sense that he doesn't accept that it is a farz. So he denies its obligation. Then that's a kufr. So similarly, in this Hadith of Mubarakah, it is said that don't go near haram even, let alone doing haram, don't even go near haram. In other words, in English we can say, don't even think about it. And in Urdu we say, qareeb mat jao. In English we'll say, don't even think about it, because haram is so bad and is so damaging, it can destroy your future, your hereafter, therefore don't even think about it. So the third matter which is mentioned is about the had, is about the limit. So what is said is in this Hadith Mubarakah that don't violate the limits of halal and haram. In other words, just to explain this with an example, that salat or namazes are farz 5 times daily. So don't make it 4 or don't make it 6. So if you believe that salats are farz 4 times a day, you're violating the limits of Allah. Or if you believe the salats are farz 6 times a day, you are violating the limits of Almighty Allah. Zakat is farz, 2.5% is farz upon you. And that is actually the 40th part of your wealth. 40th part and 2.5%. That is farz upon you. So in your aqeedah, you must not feel or believe that zakat is farz maybe 2%, not 2.5%. Or zakat is farz 3%, or 4%, or 5%. If one thinks that way, there is violation in the had, in the limits of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. Similarly, nikah is halal with 4 women. If someone thinks, no, the 5th one is halal, then there's a violation in the limit of Allah. If someone thinks that the 4th one is haram, that too is violation in the limits of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. So therefore, in this Hadith Mubarakah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us that stay within the limits. Don't violate the limits of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. And then, at the end of this Hadith Mubarakah, something very important is mentioned. And that is, things which are halal, things which are haram, are mentioned clearly in Quran and Hadith. and things about which there is silence in Sharia. Don't go and investigate. Because they are mubah, they are allowed, they are permissible. If you want to do, you can do that. They're not necessary or compulsory upon you, but you are allowed to do that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran al-Kareem, Afallahu anhum. Chapter number 3, verse number 155. That those things which are not mentioned, Allah has forgiven them to you. They are forgiven on you. So you can utilize them, you can use them. And there are several ahadith which explain this matter, that anything about which the Sharia is silent, there is no clear order, that is mubah, that is jais. وَأَنْ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ بْنِ عَمْرٍ قَالَ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ بَلِّغُوا عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةٌ وَحَدِّثُوا عَنْ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ وَلَا حَرَجَ وَمَنْ كَذَبَ عَلَيَّ مُتَعَمِّدًا فَلْيَتَبَوَّأْ مَقْعَدَهُ مِنَ النَّارِ رواه البخاري. This hadith is reported from Hazrat Abdullah bin Amr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, deliver on my behalf even if it is one ayat. And relate stories from Bani Israel, nothing wrong with that. The one who deliberately relates a lie towards me, he must find his place in the hellfire. This hadith is in Sahih al-Bukhari. In this ayah karima, in this hadith mubarakah, the word ayat is used. Ballighu anni walau ayah. The lughvi, the literal meaning of word ayat is alamat, sign, symbol. So from this angle, if we see the word ayat, it would mean all the mu'jizat, the miracles of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ahadith and ahkam, the orders, the rules and regulations, even the Quranic ayat, everything that is included. But the technical meaning of word ayat is that it is a sentence from Quran al-Kareem which does not have a name. Anything that has a particular topic and it has a name, it's called surah. A sentence that doesn't have a name is called ayat. But here the lughvi meaning, the literal meaning of word ayat is meant. That mean any masala of sharia, any hadith, any Quranic ayat, any matter relating to deen, which you know it with conformity with Sharia, and you are certain about it, and you show about it, you have verified it, that this is correct. So then it is your responsibility to pass that on to others. So from this we learn that tabligh, propagation, passing Islamic informations to others, is not fard upon ulama alone. Rather, it is the responsibility of every Muslim. In other words, every Muslim is a muballigh. Doesn't that makes you feel good when you ponder upon this hadith mubarakah? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, ballighu anni, deliver on my behalf. So if you are a muballigh of deen, you are a preacher of deen, you are educating someone about something, You are trying to remove a difficulty of a Muslim. You are trying to solve his dini problem, his religious problem. At that time, you are representative of beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam has said, "Ballighu anni," deliver on my behalf. So the task that you are performing, the job that you are doing, you're not doing on your own behalf. You're doing on behalf of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, acting as deputy, as representative of beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. So mere that thought, just thinking about it, how much pleasure a believer can get out of this exercise, that when I'm going out and giving neki ki dawat, inviting people towards the path of righteousness, and when I'm giving them the good advice and sharing informations regarding Islam and our religion, you have been blessed with that status. The second issue which we learn from this Hadith Mubarakah is that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave permission to take stories from Bani Israel. Wala haraj, nothing wrong with that. It means stories, not ahkam, not masail. Stories are fine, examples, stories, qissa. You can take from Bani Israel and you can relate, that's okay. But you cannot take ahkam, so there is a difference. Early on, we learnt Hadith Mubarakah in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stopped Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu reading Torah. Because in Torah there were ahkam. There were rules, there were orders, and that would have caused confusion. So therefore he was stopped. And here what is permitted is the stories alone. News, khabar, qissa. So these two ahadith have got no conflict with each other. Hazrat Umar was stopped for other reason. And here the permission is granted for another reason. And then, in this Hadith Mubarakah, we learn that the one who fabricates a hadith, who manufactures a hadith, he is Jahannami. He is a dweller of hell, hellfire. So from here we learn that fabricating a hadith is a sin. Rather, sometime it is kufr. Because there is a lie which person is relating to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this way he is spreading fitna, he is spreading mischief amongst Muslims. Also keep in mind that maudu hadith, fabricated hadith, is something else. And da'if hadith is something else. Da'if means weak. Weak hadith is something else. Da'if hadith is not a fabricated hadith. Da'if hadith is reliable to prove the fazail of amal, to prove the virtues of deeds. That's quite valid and authentic for that purpose. And as far as the maudu hadith is concerned, fabricated hadith is concerned, that is not reliable at any occasion. So that difference one should keep in mind. And the other very interesting thing about this Hadith Mubarakah is that this hadith is mutawatir. It has been related by so many Sahaba Ikram that the intellect cannot accept that so many people of such authority and piety can get together on a lie. So therefore this hadith is mutawatir. There are about 62 Sahaba Ikram. They have reported this Hadith Mubarakah And it has been reported from each and every Sahabi from Ashara Mubashara. And this is the only hadith in which they are all Ashara Mubashara in the narration. There's no other hadith. Maybe they'll have one or two, or one, or three, or four, but this is the only hadith that has all the 10 Ashara Mubashara Sahabis which have related this hadith Mubarak and have reported this hadith Mubarak. Hazrat Samura bin Jundub and Hazrat Mughira bin Shu'ba radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, they both report that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, the one who relates something from my side which he knows that it's a lie, he is amongst the liars. He's telling people that this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa said, and he knows that he's lying. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa said, فَهُوَ أَحَدُ الْكَاذِبِينَ, he's one of the liars. So, in this hadith mubarakah, we learn that fabricating a hadith is a sin, and knowingly mentioning a fabricated hadith is also a sin. If you know that this hadith is fabricated and then you still mention it, that is also a sin. Although, if you think strongly that this hadith is fabricated, still it is a sin to mention that hadith. Even if it's less than certainty, mean you have a strong feeling, ghalba-i zan, then too, it is haram to mention that hadith. But mere doubt does not make it haram to mention. But if a scholar mentions a hadith in order to educate people that this is fabricated hadith, so people can refrain from it and they do not follow the message which has been mentioned in this hadith, that is allowed. That is just because our ulama-ikram have done that. Many of the great ulama-ikram, muhaddithin, scholars of hadith have spent days and nights, their lives, to search the chains of a hadith, and they separated the fabricated ahadith, and they have written books that these ahadith are maudu'at, they are fabricated, and that was to pass the correct knowledge to Muslim Ummah. And inshallah azza wa jal, they will be highly rewarded in the hereafter, because that was a great effort which the muhaddithin, the scholars have put. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to understand the beautiful message from Ahadith-e Mubarakah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us that understanding which our pious elders had from Ahadith. And may we practice upon the ahkam which are mentioned in Ahadith, in the Sunnah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. آمين بجاه النبي الأمين صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم صلاة وسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. Who's here?